Hello, church. How's everybody doing? Me too. Amen. His precious Lord. I love him. We're from Medina, Ohio, which is about 30 miles south of Cleveland. And I tell you, I'm feeling right at home. I pulled off the highway and there's Medina Road. You know, it's like, thank you. Makes you feel good. And appreciate Brother Long allowing me to minister to you today. The Lord's given me a word and I want you to hear it, okay? Because I know it's from him 100% and I love it. When he speaks to us, okay? But before that, I'd like every mother to stand. All the mothers here, would you stand? Stretch your legs a little. All right, the rest of us, look around. This is all our mothers, and we'd like to give them a big hand. We pray that you have a blessed day today and everybody just spoils you and takes care of you and treats you like queens, okay, which you deserve. The Word of God comes to ministers in different ways, all right? This message today, the way that the Lord brought this to me, you know, I've got messages in lots of different ways, just like our pastor would say. You'd be amazed. For me, a lot of times I'm out hunting or fishing and I get a message. So, Nancy, I need to hunt and fish a little bit more, I think, right? By the way, Nancy, would you stand up and so everybody can see you? That's my beautiful wife, Nancy. We've been married about 30 years. And we've also been saved for 30 years. When I first met her, we weren't saved. We were heathens. And so we got saved together and just entered in. And it's been the most wonderful thing. And I can honestly say, without the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't believe we'd be married. And I just know that. And she said it too. It's God's glue that's held us together. And we thank him. And that's my advice to any of you is get to know the Lord as a couple and grow as a couple and he'll bless you. But anyway, this message came to me this way. I said, Lord, I'm going to study today and I'm going to get before you and I'm just going to worship you and spend some special time. You ever said stuff like that? So I have a routine in my morning. You may too. I get up and I'm kind of not a morning person. So I don't crack the book right away and stuff. I'm just not that way. I got a guy, he gets up at 4 o'clock every day and he studies the Word of God. I can't do that. So I have to have my coffee and I got to read the paper and just kind of wake up a little bit. So that day I did that and then I was going to, you know, study and praise the Lord. And well, I looked out and the weather was gorgeous. I mean, it was beautiful. And if you're a fisherman, you know when it's just the right time to go fishing. So I said, I'll go ahead and go fishing and I'll catch that later. So I went out and man, I caught all these fish, came back late in the afternoon and had to clean all those fish and get them all skinned up and everything. And then, of course, I was a little tired, so I took a little nap. But I was going to get on that study and in prayer. I was going to do it. And then, you know, it was dinner time, and I said, well, I'm going to fry them fish up too. So I went ahead and did that. And then, of course, I watched the news, the evening news, so I could catch what's going on in the world. So I had to watch it. But I was going to get to that. And then, of course, right, you know, for the few hours before dark, I had a little bit of yard work that I had to get on. I just had to because it was calling for rain. So I got that, and I said, I'm going to get that. Then, I'm a sports fan. I like my sports. The playoffs was on, and at 7 o'clock, a game was starting. So I said, I'm going to watch the playoffs. So I started watching them, and I said, after this game, I will do it. Well, wouldn't you know, that game went into overtime. And so I had to watch the overtime, right? I can't just stop that. I mean, you're right into it. You're hanging on every shot. So when that game was over, it was 11:30, and I mean, I was just whipped, and I hit the sack and said, Lord, I'll just have to. And he stopped me right there, and he said, son, you have left your first love. You used to serve me the first thing, and I mean all over it, and you, son, have left your first love. And he gave me this message, and I'm telling you, he burned it into my spirit. And I want to share it with you because I think some of you can relate to this tonight. If you'd like to turn to Revelation, the second chapter, and we'll read this. And I just pray that we can say something that'll bless you and minister to you. Aren't you glad for the Word of God? Amen. And by the way, I really appreciated your Sunday school this morning. I appreciated all the words that were said here. I appreciate the singing and just a good spirit. And by the way, I'm ordained through the organization that your pastor is, and we had a conference here a couple years ago, and I was privileged to speak there. And they just rolled out the red carpet for everybody at the conference. Everybody was so nice. It left a big impression on me anyway, I'll tell you, because I go to a lot of different churches, and not everybody is so friendly, let me tell you. Not everybody welcomes you as good, and you can tell when it's genuine. So that's a good thing for your church to have that for a testimony, that you did those things. And I appreciate that. You know, that's showing Jesus as love. And I know you got to do that when it's your conference, but I think you would do it anyway. I just have that feeling you guys would do that. Let's read this. It says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted." Now look at verse 4, underline it, bold it, and highlight it, because I did. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except you repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word, and we ask you to anoint and bless as only you can do. We look forward to what you have for us, and we just ask the Spirit of God to just teach, because the Holy Spirit is the best teacher. Let it fall on good ground, for we ask it in Christ's name, and everyone says together, amen. So Jesus in these verses is speaking to the elders or pastors of the seven churches of Asia. And we've heard this before. And you know, if you pull back and look at the big picture, these churches are representative of all types of churches in the church age. That's a good study, by the way, if anybody really wanted to get into that. But everything that is said here is just as relevant today in 2019 as it was when it was penned back then. By the way, that's all in red, folks. When you see the red, buddy, pay attention. The seven stars and the seven golden candlesticks, they represent the seven churches that he holds in her hand and he controls. And I just want to stop there and say, if you're a pastor, if you're a leader, an elder in any way, we need to remember that the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. You remember what he told Peter, right? He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Notice he said, "my church." He built the church. He's the head of the church. But today you see a lot of denominations. You see a lot of people's names above the doors in the big ministries. You see their names, and it's all about them, and it's all about people. Listen, it's about Jesus Christ. It's his church. Would you all agree with that today? So let's fall in line with that, and it's just a good reminder that we love our pastor, right? And he is the shepherd of the local flock. But he were here right now, standing here, he would tell you the same thing, that I'm not the head. I'm not the one you look to. I am just a servant of God Almighty. He is the head of the church. And I think if we can remember that, it'll help us. So his message is a clear statement of what we just read, of what he loves, okay, the things that he values, but it's also about some things that he hates, okay, or condemns. So we need to pay attention. Listen to what he praised him for. He said, "Man, this church, you know, your labor, it's good. You're a good worker. You have patience. You have spiritual discernment," okay? They didn't tolerate false teachers. They didn't tolerate false prophets. They didn't tolerate false apostles. And I want to stop there, because the church, you and I were talking about that a little bit today. The church that I remember when I was a youth is not what I'm seeing today. What we're seeing today is an accommodating church. We're seeing a church that wants to please the world and tickle some ears and not stay with the truth. This church called them out. This church didn't bury their head in the sands. They didn't tolerate false teachers. And you know, the scripture even says in 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, I love the pastor, and he said he's loved me. I believe it, but I know him well enough that when I come up here and speak, or anybody, he's listening, okay? He's like them Bereans with old Paul and Silas when they spoke. The Bible says that they searched the scriptures daily whether those things that they said were lining up and were true. And that's what we need to do. I don't care who it is. If it's Uncle Hank or Aunt Sue, you listen to me. You got to be careful what a lot of people say. You have to say, wait a minute, time out. The Bible says this. By the way, that's why we had a thing called the Reformation with Martin Luther, right? You remember that? He said, wait a minute, man, I don't read any of this stuff in the Bible. Well, look at what's going on. Look at these indulgences and all the money they're paying to get people on doing all this stuff. He says, wait, what Bible are you looking at? Mine don't say that. He was proving, and the Bible tells us, prove all things, right? How do you prove it? Well, you prove it by that book that's in your lap. If it don't line up with the Word of God, it is to be rejected. And I don't care if Aunt Sally and Uncle Hank's been doing it all their life. Some of the traditions of men, Jesus said, your traditions have made the Word of God none effect. Listen, traditions are good. Some things you've heard cutting your teeth on growing up is good. But listen, I remember a lot of times when I was a young preacher, I wish I could go back there, Pastor, and grab those words back because I said things that were wrong. I meant well, I really did, but it was just things I had heard. It wasn't the Word of God. And when I finally got the Word of God into me, I began to do what the Bible says. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. What's in you? What is in you? So we want to remind everybody that this is what he's telling them, okay? You did good in that area. You did good by not honoring false. And some people will say, well, you know, lighten up a little bit. It's just a little bit off base. Well, the Bible says that a little bit of leaven will leaven the whole lump, right? It says those small foxes spoil the vine. So even that little bit of error that comes in, if you and I want to be true to the Word of God, we've got to say, no, we're not going to go down that road. No, that is error. See, some people want to put their head in the sand because it's a whole lot easier. I don't have to offend you. I don't have to confront you, right? Don't have to do none of that. But listen, folks, do you remember a great preacher named Apollos? He was a little off, wasn't he? If you know your scripture on that. And here it was, Priscilla and Aquila came and said, can we talk to you in private? They didn't do it publicly. They pulled him aside and they began to expound more clearly to the truths of the scriptures of Jesus Christ. And that's how you do it, folks. But you don't bury your head in the sand, okay? So anyway, this is what Jesus is saying. He's praising them for all these good things that they're doing, okay? And he said, you weren't weary. For 40 years, this church remained faithful to Jesus Christ. So here's what I want to say to you tonight. If all you young people, maybe some of you is in college, some of you is in school, if the teacher gave you a pop-up test and it had 11 questions, he said, pull out your notebooks, oh, get your pens out, we're going to have a pop quiz, there's going to be 11 questions, and you got 10 of the 11 right, I'd say that's pretty good. I mean, I would. I almost flunked out of high school, so that would be excellent for me. By the way, then I went to college and had to pay for it myself. Straight A's, straight A's. That, I'm not bragging. It just shows you when it's your wallet, you will do it a little more. But anyway, if you got 10 of 11, I would say that's good. But here, they got 10 things praised, if you look through there, but one thing stood out, and it's in verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because you left your first love. And that's what he was calling them out on. Now think about it. I don't know about you. I don't ever want the Lord Jesus Christ to have something against me, do you? I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to hear, you're doing good, Brother Danny. Keep it up. I don't want to hear, I've got something against you. We need to talk. We need to go to the woodshed, Brother Danny. I don't want to hear that, do you? I want to hear the joy of the Lord in my life and all these things. But Jesus Christ, being a good, loving master, or the Father, as you can say, here's what it says, as many as I love, I will rebuke and chasten. That's what the Lord has said to all of us. All of you parents, you've taken your kids to the woodshed and you said, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. How many's ever said that, right? And all you kids are going, yeah, right. Yeah, sure it is. Listen, this is the truth. This hurts, okay? Isn't it so much easier not to have to hear things we got to work on and improve and repent over? Sure it is, okay? So what it shows me is we can do many things right, church, but we can still not please the Lord. Did you hear me? You can do a lot of good things, and people around you go, man, do you see Brother Danny? Look what he's doing. Look at Sister Nancy and Brother Dave. They're so good. It can appear that way, but remember, the Bible says that God looks upon the heart. Man looks on the outward, but God looks upon the heart. You can fool me. I can fool you. In fact, you can even just be doing some good deeds. But if your heart, which again, I can't totally see because I'm not God, but he knows your heart. He knows, I always say it this way, what trips your trigger? You know, God knows the difference between true love and just going through the motions, okay? The Bible says, though I speak with the tongues, okay, and if I have the gift of prophecy, and I can understand all mysteries, think about that. And if I had all knowledge, if I had all faith, if I could give everything to the poor, without love, I am nothing. And this is the love that God's expecting, not just for our fellow man, but He wants us to love Him with half our heart, right? No, love thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That's everything, and there ain't no more. We need to get in, and you just remember back how you used to love the Lord, and you know that many of us need to get back to that first love because we have strayed. I know I did. He called me on the carpet on that. My priorities was not God that day. And I could tell you many other days that it wasn't like that either. That shouldn't ought to be, church. They left their first deep love for Jesus Christ. And this is how big that love was. In Ephesians, the first chapter, the great apostle Paul heard about their faith and love from far away. And I got to thinking, you know, about, we'll use Drift Run Church since we're here. Can you imagine if way up where I live, people heard about your faith and your love in this church down here in the hill country? That's what it was like. People knew about it. They knew that they loved the Lord. This wasn't just, they loved the Lord. No, they really loved the Lord. They had faith, and they were just so close to God that even the Apostle Paul heard about it from far away. And I don't know about you, but that's a beautiful testimony. You know, some churches, you go, when you think of these churches, you think, well, they got a good softball team. Their choir's outstanding. And again, I'm not taking away from choirs because we need them, okay? But that's what they're known for, okay? Or they're known for, you know, other things. Listen, I want to be known for faith and love and doing the words of the true of the actual deeds of the Lord and just getting down and loving on people and letting them know Jesus is in your life. That's what I want to be known for. How about you, church? You know, the real McCoy, as they say, not just playing church because we do too much of that. So what had happened was their passion for the Lord, their first love, had grown cold. It had grown mechanical. It had grown routine. And you know, I've been there. How about you? Where you just go to church and you know, we call it church speak. You know how to talk church lingo. When you're around church people, we know how to say, praise the Lord, brother, glory to God. I'm just so thankful for the Holy Ghost and, you know, pray for me. And, you know, everybody's like, well, they're okay. They may not be okay. That's church speak. That's all that is. Or they may just be sitting there singing a song. We need to follow them Monday through Saturday. We need to be with them all through the week, okay? Because they may not be quite so church speaky, all right? They may actually let some people down. And I've done that too. I've had people say, I thought you was a preacher. Oh boy. I won't even tell you what it was, but they called me on it. Now, so they had doctrinal purity. They had a zeal for the truth. These are all good things that Christ commended them for. They were disciplined in their service, but friends, it was no substitute for forsaking that first love. None whatsoever, all right? To be a Christian means to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. That's what it means, okay? Why? Because did you know that God is love? You know, he isn't trying to be lovely or he learned to be lovely. His very nature and character is love. It's also holiness. All right? God is holy, therefore be ye holy. What if his character is love and we get saved and we get full of the Holy Ghost, we should be full of love. And that main love is towards God and towards His Word. And that's what your first love is, okay? That's what it is when you first come to the Lord and you go, man, thank you for grace, for that unmerited favor that you gave me. I didn't deserve this. I should be dead in a devil's hell, and here I am getting saved and getting forgiveness. For mercy, for you, you know, not doing to me what you should have done. You just had mercy and grace on me. And you see, that's, you remember those days when you first got saved, how you just loved on Him and you just couldn't get enough? All right, I want to take everybody back on a memory trip, memory lane. All you married people, if you're dating, even if you're a widower, or even if you had previous, just think about some of this stuff. Guys, when you first started dating, remember this, go way back when you first started dating. Man, you shaved, you got your cleanest pair of jeans on, not the one with that big ring in the back. You got that stuff out of your mouth and your lip. You've brushed them teeth. You've slicked that hair back. You might have put a little bit of lotion on. You got that clay off your boots. You cleaned up the car, right? You opened the car door for her. You were on your best behavior, and you didn't belch or pass gas. Remember that? Now, I'll tell you a funny story. I have a friend that he told me this true story. He was dating. And isn't it amazing how when you're dating, no one ever passes gas? It's a miracle. I mean, we all do it, right? Is anybody here not pass gas? We all do it, right? We know it. But when you're dating, nobody does it. It's a miracle. So this guy, he was taking the girl home, and he had gas. They just ate, and it was building. But man, he was going to go to the grave with that. He wasn't going to let it out. And finally, he gets to the door, and he says, I'm just going to let you off here. I've got a few errands. He gave her a quick kiss, and as soon as she left, he closed his eyes and let her go. Filled the whole car. And he's like, oh, man, thank you, Lord, I'm in heaven. 10 seconds later, the door opens. She shoves her head in and says, I had a good time tonight. He got busted, did he? Now, ladies, when you first started dating, you combed your hair real pretty. You probably got a perm, all right? You put on makeup. You put that jewelry on just right, and I mean, it was perfect. You probably had a nice, pretty dress or a suit outfit, beautiful shoes, and you were a perfect lady, and you didn't belch or pass gas either, and it was wonderful because you just loved that person, all right? Now, let's fast forward 15, 20, 25 years. Now we've got people sitting on couches in underwear, dirty t-shirts with ketchup stained mustard. We got grease on them. We got people belching and passing gas right in front of them. There ain't no holding back. If they get up, it's like, get me a pop. It's not please, it's get me a pop. And the women are standing in front of the doors going, I guess you don't open the doors anymore for me. And he says, what, your arm broke? Or the man says, you don't cook for me anymore? What, your arm broke? Right? What had happened there is they had lost their first love. That's all there is to it. They got comfortable with each other, and as time went on, they already had the prize, and they got comfortable in their relationship. It's sad, isn't it? And maybe some of you can relate. Maybe not, but maybe some of you can. In the Lord, it's the same way. When we first got saved, do you remember those days? Man, we just found the greatest pearl of price. We were so excited to be with the Lord. We were devoted to Him. Man, we couldn't wait to get to that church. Now we got to drag people to church sometimes, right? Now it's, if I got any excuse not to be there, I'm going to make it. But we couldn't wait to be here. We used to love one another. We used to just couldn't wait to talk to God's people and not criticize anybody and just have a good time with people, right? Man, we were separated from the world. We didn't want to be like that anymore. We wanted to be so pure for the Lord. We wanted to live right. You remember those days? That's our first love, church. And what happens is when we get comfortable with the Lord and when we get in His situation where, I can have my cake and eat it too, and, I want all the things of the world, but, I also want the church stuff, we've lost our first love. Has anybody ever related to something like that in your life? And it's sad, isn't it? It's that lukewarm, pathetic, routine place that Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, I will what? Spew you out of my mouth. Now, you could have a theological debate all day long of what that means, but I don't want no part of it. I don't want the Lord spewing me out of His mouth, do you? None of it. I want to hear, well done. I want to hear the joy of the Lord in my life. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost and His Word and to know that He's there with me every single step of the way. Some people say about relationships, they say, oh, that'll pass. I remember when Nancy and I first got together, how new couples are. We was, very demonstrative of our newfound love. And my brother says, come back and see me in about 10 years. It'll be over. It's been 30. And I'm proud to go back to my brother with my wife and say, we ain't giving up. We're still loving you. Now, are we perfect? No. Do we still have to work on our relationship? Yes. But folks, all I'm trying to say is it's the same thing in Christ. Don't give up on Him. Draw near. How many of you know the enemy of your soul's at work? You said that to me this morning. He's alive and well on planet Earth, okay? He wants to destroy marriages. Why? Because God ordained them. God's the one that instituted them. And anything, he doesn't like you or I because we're made in the image and likeness of God. He don't like marriage because it's God ordained. He wants to destroy marriages, okay? Don't let him in, okay? We are not to be ignorant of his devices. When you see that, you know the enemy's at work, okay? We have to get before the Lord, and it's where spiritual warfare comes in, and we got to fight against these things. So God help us. So, how many of you love Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, great. Here's what Jesus said. He said, thank you, but if you love me, keep my commandments. So you got to do something besides words. You know, words are easy to say. I can get up here and say all kinds of things. And you can say all kinds of things. You know, it's sort of like my wife. If I say, Nancy, I love you, honey. Next day, I love you, honey. I love you, I love you. That's all I do is I love you. But I never take her out for a steak dinner. I never buy her anything. Never take her on vacation. Never spend time with her. You know what I'm saying? We got to put some action behind those words. And it's the same with God. We can say I love you till we're blue in the face. He says, great, but if you love me, I want you to keep my commandments. I want you to do something. I want you to put forth some effort and some sacrifice to show me that love, right? And that's what he's talking about here. Church, it's real simple. We've got to get back to the Lord. We've got to get back to that first love. We've got to get back to serving him and prioritizing our lives. That's why there's a scripture in the Bible that says in 1 John 2 and 15 that we are not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it's of the world, and this world's going to pass away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Folks, if what trips your trigger is the things of the world, my fishing and my hunting, man, I love that stuff, but it can get overboard. It's all got to be in its right, proper place. You know, them disciples used to fish, you know that, right? And then the Lord was with him when they fished too. So they also took breaks from their ministry and enjoyed some time. And I don't believe when they were in those breaks that they were sitting in a circle, what they call a kiva circle these days, and humming and just, you know, solemnly being with the Lord. And I believe they were cutting up, laughing and enjoying life and telling funny stories and relaxing from the crowds and all the hecticness. I believe some of that. Now, there was probably some quality teaching going on as well. But I believe this with all my heart, church, that God wants you to enjoy some of this world, but don't get so caught up in it. Don't let the world get so much involved in you that you lose your first love, that you suddenly begin to love the world more than you love God. And it's so easy. Folks, I'm not talking about blatant sin here. I'm talking about our hobbies, the things that we enjoy doing, the time that we spend that can just seem to be okay, but it's because I'm not going to the bars, I'm not chasing women, I'm not gambling and doing all these other things. I'm just doing what I enjoy. But see, if it takes away, just like me, I never got to that study that day. If it's doing the same for you, you've lost your first love. And God help us to be in that pathetic situation. Jesus, the Word of God says, let us not love in word and in tongue only, but in deed and in truth. So let's make the rubber meets the road and apply it to our lives. Would you all agree? Is this the truth of the Word of God that you're hearing today? You know it is, and we all know it's the Word of God. So now you got somebody from Ohio that was told to come in and instead of tickle your ears this morning and make you feel good, I have to be obedient and obey the Lord. And he told me to minister along these lines, and I said, I will do it. And I know it hurts. You got your steel-toed boots on, as they say? I don't know about you. When I go and hear a church sermon, I want to be cut up a little bit. I do, because the Bible says the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrows, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I want to hear that. I want to get cut up a little bit. I want to be bleeding a little bit, because I need it. I do. If it was just left to me, I may not do that. So I want the truth of the Word of God. How about you, church? So, Jesus said this to Peter. Remember when he denied him three times? And boy, that was rough on him. He had to restore Peter. This is what he told him. He said, Peter, do you love me more than these? Remember that? And what was he talking about? Well, Peter, do you love me more than these fish? Do you love me more than these disciples? Do you love me more than this lifestyle? You know I do, Lord. Then he said, feed my sheep. And he did it three times to restore him. But what if Jesus was to ask us the same question today? Again, I ask you, what trips your trigger? What is it that you really hang your hat on in this world? If the Lord said, brother, do you love me more than these? Sister, do you love me more than these? What would we say? Because it's true. And he caught me that day. I love those things more than God and his word that day. It's the truth. And there's been other times that he's caught me just slacking, as it were. Listen, folks, we've got to discipline ourselves. We got to enter into the Lord, and we can't put anything ahead of him. He will not share his glory with anybody or anything. He wants you to be 100% involved in him and in a relationship. He wants you to love him genuinely with all that you have and a fullness of just joy. And guess what? You can do it. All you got to do is prioritize your life. What's more important? And especially you young people that are here. I know it's hard because there's so much. You know, you're just getting loose of your parents a little bit and you're on your own and there's so much out there, right? You don't think the devil knows that? He knows all about that. He puts that big carrot in front of you and we all chase it, and before you know it, that's why a lot of our young people stray, especially when they go to these liberal colleges and stuff. We need to really pray for them and get behind them. So to show you how serious, by the way, here's your priority. If you're married, it's God first, then your spouse, then your children. Sorry, kids. That's true. That's the order. And then it's friends, acquaintances, jobs. You ever seen people that their job is their life? They're so involved in it, and they're wrapped up in it, even above God and family. That's wrong. That's out of order. Things are out of whack, as they say. God wants to be number one. He will not share his glory, and he wants the preeminence in our life. He wants to be number one in your life. Not second fiddle. Number one. Folks, it's simple. You know, people say the Bible is complicated. This is simple. I get this. He's just saying, I want all of you. I want you to come back the way it was when we first met. What happened to you? How many of you know it's not God that left? Right? It's not God that left. He's always been there. He's always been faithful to his covenant too. It's us that leave. God help us. All right, so how serious is this? Jesus says this in those verses. Remember from whence thou art fallen. Did you hear that? He just said 10 things they did good, but the one thing that they didn't was they left their first love. And he said that they have to repent from where they are fallen. Now again, you and I could have a theological debate over what that means. I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't want to be fallen. I don't want to have to repent because I don't love the Lord anymore like I used to, okay? He says, or else I will come quickly and remove your candlestick out of his place. Again, we could debate, what exactly does that mean? I don't want no part of it. I don't want the Lord to have something against me. I don't want him removing anything from me. I don't want none of that. I want to just draw near and say, I'm your servant, you saved me, and how can I be of service? You know, help me to be a better husband. Help me to be a better witness to you. Help me to be just, I love you, Lord. I thank you for this privilege. See what I'm saying? He can work with that. Amen. But he can't work with somebody that makes God second and third and fourth fiddle, or only when something really serious in their life happens and they come crawling to him and begging him to help them, right? But where were they for the whole year before that? They were out doing their thing. They were selfish. But that shows you the grace of God. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Because you and I probably wouldn't be as forgiving, would we? But God is, and I thank him for that grace and for that mercy. Aren't you? Amen. Amen. So he says he'll reject any church. He'll remove it if it does not repent of its declining love and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, let's not do it. Then he says, and I'm going to end shortly here. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Okay? Let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Just like right now, all of you are hearing me with these ears, but he wants the Word of God to get into your heart through the spiritual ears. And that's the difference. You know, people are hearing all the time. Here's what they're hearing. They're hearing their flesh, they're hearing the world, and they're hearing the devil many times, especially sinful people. That's what they're hearing, and that's what they're following. They're going right after that. But listen what Jesus said about that, okay? He said, my sheep... How many of you would consider you're a sheep and he's the shepherd? He says, my sheep, they hear me, okay? They know me and they know my voice, but they will actually flee from a stranger, all right? And they will not follow that voice. So you and I, when we love the Lord with all of our heart, we get back to that first love. Yeah, we're still hearing the world. We're still hearing our flesh. We're still hearing the enemy. But we don't listen to that and follow that anymore. We're listening for the Lord Jesus Christ, who's our shepherd. And boy, we focus right in on it. They say that over there in Israel and different places where they have them big herds, that these sheep can be in with hundreds of other sheep that are other owners. They're all mixed. And the one owner will come up and do his call, his unique call, and those sheep will find him and come out of that because they know that shepherd's voice. And that's what we need to have for our life, is to listen to Jesus Christ. Church, quit listening to the world. Every time you turn your television on, every time we turn the radio on, every time we get on the internet, we're being flooded with things of the world. We're being flooded. There's a lot of good things on there too. We know that. But there's so many other things. What are we listening to? What are we drawn to? That's what the problem is we're not hearing from the Savior. Folks, I know this isn't exciting, especially for young people. You know, they're saying, oh, he's getting on me about the internet now. I tell you, these guys, he's old-fashioned. He don't get it, you know. I do get it, and I see what it's doing and how it's destroying. How many of you know that pornography is one of the greatest things that's happening in the church world right now? It's a sin, and it's all right there for people to see and to do. And people are gravitating towards that kind of stuff. Why? Because they're listening to the wrong voice. If you listen to the voice of the shepherd, he'll say, I love you, and if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and you will not, as he said, if any man even thinks after another woman, he's already lusted in his heart and done the act because it's already done that. Folks, that is fornication. That is adultery. God help us. All right, so I'll end with this. So we'll do a little soul searching. Okay, you've heard a quick message about returning to the first love. And returning to those good old days when you couldn't wait to be in church and you loved him with all your heart. You say, well, I am not that bad. Maybe not. But I'm gonna do a little soul searching, give you a little, this is evidence that you may have left your first love. What's that dude that says, you know, if you do this, you might be a redneck? I forgot what his name is, right? You might be a redneck if, and then he lists something, right? You all heard that? All right, well, I'll say this. You may have lost your first love if you no longer have a strong desire to spend with the Lord. And what I mean is, you remember back when you first got saved, you couldn't wait to be with Him. And I mean, you were excited. Now, it's not the same. There's no strong desire. You might have a mild desire, but it's not strong because other things have come in. That might be one reason that you or I have left our first love. The other one is that your private prayer and private worship is almost non-existent. Yeah, we know how to pray and look good here when everybody's watching, but what are you doing when you're alone? Do you even have a prayer closet? Are you even worshiping privately in your own way? You may have lost your first love because when you first got saved, you did that, and I did that. Also, when we do come to church, our worship is dry. It's just dry. It's mechanical. It's just going through the motions. You know, turn to page 79. We turn to page 79 and we just sing a half-hearted song and we look at the watch real quick and go to the next one. See, when you first got saved, man, you were enthralled in worship. When you began to worship those songs, man, you were there with the Lord. But now it's different. The other reason you may have lost your first love is if you crave the things of the world more than the things of God Almighty. And folks, there's so many things out there that can trip your trigger, that you can get excited about, that you can get involved with. It may be a hobby. It might be collecting stamps. It might be cars. It could be, as me, hunting and fishing, that kind of stuff. It could be entertainment. It could be movies, whatever. All right? Is it taking the place of God Almighty? Here's one that I find a lot. People talk about everything else other than the things of God. And these are church people many times. I've been around people that told me they're Christians, but when we get together, they never ever talk about God, His Word, or His Spirit, or anything. It's just the things of the world. And again, I'm not being critical of that, but folks, I got to believe that if God's in you, and His Spirit's in you, and His Word's in you, at some point, it's going to come out. Amen. I had a guy one time I worked with for 30 years, and when I got saved, I mean, I was a heathen, and he knew it. Everybody knew I was a heathen because I was a heathen. I acted like a heathen, looked like a heathen, talked like a heathen. I was a heathen. Well, when I got saved, it was a miracle. I no longer cussed, and I was just, you know, excited. And I went to him and said, "You won't believe what happened. I got saved. I'm a Christian." And he looked at me and said, "I am too." Now, remember, I had no clue this man was a Christian. He never let it be known. I knew he was a nice guy, but, you know, I'm just asking, in 30 years, do you think I may have just, in all the talks we had, that he may have just told me he was a Christian? That might have been a good thing, right? Don't be like that, okay? Don't ever be like that. Always be willing to talk about God. Don't ever be ashamed of him. What did he say? If you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. Don't ever, ever be ashamed of him. How about this one? We enjoy secular songs and entertainment more than sacred songs. Now, don't get me wrong. When I get in my truck and it's a sunny day, I'll be honest. I don't always just listen to Christian music. I like some of those country songs once in a while. I like some of those other things that just give me something to, you know, nice feeling, okay? But if all we're doing is listening to those and never listening to the sacred, I think we may have lost our first love, because when we first got saved, we couldn't wait to hear that kind of stuff. You know, it's the same for TV. If all we ever do is on our televisions watch everything of the world, but we never even tune in for a half hour of the spiritual, which, by the way, every one of your cables and satellites and internet has religious shows on them. Every single one of them. I know they do. And we all could do that. So that's another thing. How about this one? You become judgmental and critical of other people. Remember when you first got saved? You loved being around these folks. Now we get back sometimes and say, "Man, I don't know about Joe. He's just worrying me." Or how about this one? You look at Brother Dave and say, "You know, I just don't sure how he's running things these days. I don't know if I agree with it 100%. And I don't know if I was, I might do that different." See, what happens is when we start being judgmental and critical, really, is it Brother Dave's fault? Is it the other person's fault? Is it God's fault? No, right here. That's who it is, because your spirit has changed. You become judgmental and critical. You don't know, when you judge and criticize somebody, we don't know what's going on in their lives. Remember that. How about this one? You become greedy and selfish with your life. Remember when you first got saved, you wanted to share and help people, and you just had love and compassion because Jesus was in you. But when you get cold, see, now you want to hold back. Well, they don't need all that. I want to keep some of that. And, you know, you just become selfish. And that's not the Christian spirit. That's not the first love. All right, couple more. Bible reading has become limited or non-existent. Some people will do is they'll come to church and Brother Dave will give them a half-hour sermon, and that's their Bible for the week. That's not enough, folks. That's the icing on the cake. When you're alone, the Bible tells us we should study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You study, I study. Remember those Bereans when it says they searched the scriptures daily to see if Paul and Silas was preaching right? That requires opening the book and searching and studying. Do that. Do that. You should all become students of the word of God for yourselves. And all of you men, all of you men that are married, have families. God's order is this for you. You are to be the spiritual head of your home. You are. And yet many men don't live up to that because they lost their first love. Or maybe they never had it in the first place. Don't be like that. Men, we've got to lead our homes and be spiritual. We do, and you can do it. Maybe you're not there right now, but you can come to the Lord. You can receive His Spirit. You can receive the love of God and begin to grow and do what God made you to do. Finally, you're embarrassed or ashamed to be identified as a Christian in this world at times like social gatherings, work. Maybe you're around where you're afraid people are going to make fun of you, so you just zip it. We're embarrassed to say anything about Jesus Christ because somebody might say something about us. Remember when you first got saved? You weren't ashamed to tell anybody about Jesus. In fact, usually what happens when people first get saved, they have zeal without wisdom. They'll run up and tell everybody about Jesus and take a Bible and beat them over the head with it to the point where it's nauseating because it's like, whoa, pull the reins back. Whoa, slow down, son. See, they meant well, but they didn't have enough knowledge. But now when we get so old in the Lord and sophisticated, we now have wisdom with no zeal. We just have to wait, you know, and pray on it, and the Holy Spirit will lead and guide. All right, so folks, I hope you got something out of the message today. If you and I, be honest, and that's what we have altars for, that's what we have our prayer closet for, if you get before the Lord and you genuinely ask Him, "Where am I at with you?" He'll show you, and you'll already know it, and you just come back to Him. Remember, He said, I want you to repent. Repent means no longer do what you was doing. Turn 180 degrees and return to me. Come back. Don't do that anymore. He said, or else I will remove your candlestick. And I mean, let me just say this, and I don't know what your belief on this is, but you know, God gave everybody free choice and free will in this world. We can freely serve and choose to love Him, or we can freely go the other way. I want to freely come to the Lord with all my heart and serve Him. You pray for me. When you think of Brother Dan up north, you pray for me that I can continue not to just say these things, but to do them. And I'll pray for you too, okay? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Word today. We thank You for Your Spirit. We love You, Lord, and we just thank You for these people that had ears to hear this morning. I believe this message was for many people here today. And I pray, God, right now, if there's anybody here that don't know You, that You would just be able to reach out to them and touch them. And I just pray for everybody that they would come to know You in a greater way. That, Lord, You would be the one to just touch them, because Your convicting power can just show them that they need to repent and come to You. And I just thank You, church, for hearing me this morning. And I'm going to turn the service over to Brother Dave.